Sorted. Yeah, man. So,
it's good to hear your voice.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah,
let's do always, this. Man. Always, always, always.
Okay. Yeah, bro. So, I don't know. Should we introduce that this is now season two?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's season two.
Yeah. There you go. What I wanted to actually do was I was going to see if I can just quickly get a camera and season two can just be us actually having finally our faces showing. But I see. Yeah, but that's fine. We don't have to do that straight away. I'm still trying to like contemplate what camera I actually wanted because I was thinking, can I use my phone? But I don't know if I can sync that up. Will it work? Do I have enough memory to go for an hour recording? I don't know. So I was trying to think of what camera I was going to, stuff like that. I'm waiting until Black Friday this year so I can get a decently actually good camera for a discount price. But okay. Until then, I want to just get a nice, you know, just something so I can actually, I mean, I don't know if you want to show your face so we can do that on Zoom. I don't know if you want. What are your views on that?
It's possible over Zoom. I have a camera somewhere. I don't know where it is at the moment. But somewhere it's decent. Yeah, how much are you looking to spend?
So here's the thing, right? Like I've been just browsing, just going around, and what I saw is that you can get a decent Canon or Fujifilm, like one of those two. You can get a decent one, like one that came out maybe 2 years ago, and I think they were going. It's going to be around the. This might sound expensive, but they're around the 500 to 1,000. But I was thinking on Black Friday, you can get a lot off of that. So I can probably get a decent camera for like at least 200. Okay. I mean, in pounds, I'm talking about pounds sterling. So I can get Black Friday, I can at least get a decently good camera that came out like a couple of years ago. But at least 200, maybe 300, I can get it for. And I'm like one that can last me a really long time and it's actually decent quality. And I can shoot at least like HD or 4K. Well, I can get it for 4K. I'm hoping I can get one that can shoot 4K, but I don't know. That's what I'm trying to do. Maybe I'm thinking too positive about this. Maybe I won't be able to find one, but you don't know unless you try. And it's Black Friday, so anything can happen.
Positive thought is the basis.
It's true.
Yeah, man.
But we can just decent cameras for that time.
Yeah. You'll do something.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. And see what we can implement for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But it's season two now. Yeah. Have you done the thing? Do you got the things?
Yeah, let's talk about the concept.
Okay.
That was dreamed up.
It was dreamed up.
Yeah, man.
So the thinking towards it was that we've been talking a lot. You know, last season we talked a bunch about things. And it just seems that the people that are listening probably don't know that much about us, about the guys that are actually talking. So I was thinking it would be nice to just dive a bit more into each other's minds and just ask real questions to see what kind of answers we will pretty much come up with so that people can get more of a grasp of who we are and we can get more of a grasp of each other and more of a grasp of ourselves, maybe. Huh?
Yes, indeed.
Or it might be.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So that's the concept. or a bit of the concept. What about you? What more of the concept are we going for today?
Yeah, I love that. In terms of getting to know the human beings, the minds behind the conversation, really.
Yeah.
And getting it into it. I mean, we spoke about timing as well, which will be interesting to squeeze intensity into the space of like 50 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, yes, that's true. Because yes. I was thinking, or not, just it was going on that. The podcast, I mean, I don't mind. We can talk. I know me and you, we can talk for so long. It's just nothing.
Basically.
It's not an issue. But I mean, let's see if we can try and do the same kind of intensity, like you said, in just a shorter amount of time. It's still going to be long, but not as long as usual. See if that will work out. If not, then we can just talk until we're satisfied, because that's been working out anyway, and it's been fun, so... But yeah. It's nice to switch it up every now and again.
Yeah, man. And it leaves more to, like, people always want more where it came from. It's like, you know, I want some more of that. I want some more of that. People like to be left hanging, so to speak. We all do. We love when a movie leaves us with a little teaser of what's coming next. You know, we love the back in the EastEnders days. You know, when that Friday night drama popped off, it's like, oh shit, now we got to wait till Monday to find out, you know, what's happening with, who was it, Kat and Alfie, or, you know.
Yeah, oh, man. Shit.
We love continuation of stories.
We do.
We love completeness to a degree, and at the same time, we love when there's more.
Mm.
So, yeah, man.
That's a good thing that you said that, yeah. Like, that reminds me of, I literally just watched the Friends reunion. I think it was last week. I finally watched it. And I think they asked the people who actually produced and created it if they would come back and do like a actual proper reunion.
They asked what? They asked who?
So they asked...
I don't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Can you hear me now? What's going on? What a way to start off season two with technical difficulties. Right, already.
You came back.
Here we go. Cool, cool. I was like, what a way to start season two with technical difficulties. Oh.
It's only fitting.
It's only fitting, it's true. Like I said, last week finally watched the Friends reunion, and they asked the people who created it, and I think they asked the crew members and the cast, if they would come back and do an actual, you know, what are they doing now? What are Friends doing now? Do a few episodes, or maybe one episode or a movie to show them what they're up to. And they were like, we ended Friends the way we wanted to end it. You know, we ended it with Ross and Rachel actually getting together. You know, Monica and Chandler with the kids and them going off, and then Joey, of course, going along with them, and then Phoebe and Mike, they've got their own thing as well. So everyone was like, we ended it the way we ended it, and we took you all on that journey to get there. Why would we then make another reunion thing and unravel the beautiful ending we gave you? Yeah, you want more, but that's just the best way to end it, you know, because we ended it with you in your heads thinking of, oh, what are they doing now? So you can leave it to your imagination, kind of thing. It was a great way to put it. So it just reminded me of what you just said now. Like, we love cliffhangers. We always want to know more. It's like, what are they doing now? What are they doing now? But sometimes it's good to just, you know, leave it to some degree, but like you said, keep them hanging. Like the last episode of Friends, when they all walked off, and then you don't know actually how their lives will continue. It's like, oh, what's going to happen next? I don't know. But it's over now, so you will never find out. Leave it up to your imagination, kind of thing.
What came up while you were talking about that for me is that perhaps it's attached to a certain unwillingness to live our own lives. So we get so wrapped up in the lives of characters and what they're doing. You know, when we could be doing our own shit. And I had this conversation with someone a few months back about how I build up these characters on video games. Like, I like to create universes and video games, especially like sports games, and I create like whole narratives around them. And I realized at some point that I was putting so much energy into it. And I was like, hold on, but what if I just built myself up the same way? What if I was the main character that's getting all of these upgrades and going on all of these adventures and shit? You know? So, I mean, there's a lot of parallels that we can draw from that, from, you know, TV, movies, video games. And a lot of the reason we get so wrapped up in it is because somehow, some way, these characters represent us.
Bro, I was literally thinking that today, like literally today, that exact same thing you just said, like today, I was thinking the same thing. And just about myself, I was like, especially during the pandemic, when state of emergency, we're still kind of on it, how, because you don't have a life, or you can't go outside, or you don't have the life that you wanted, or you can't do the stuff you wanted, you pour all of that into these worlds, into these video game worlds. So you put yourself into these worlds to have a life. Like some people, how did I think it the other day? So some people game for an escape. Gaming for some people is an escape, you know, to escape the world that they're currently living in because it's not good enough. So they place themselves into these games so they can feel that thrill of living. It's for them difficult to apply that to their own life because some people don't know how to book a destination to go to this random place and just go there. Or some people are scared of even leaving their own town, let alone their country, to go, you know, exploring. So they escape into video games. And not just video games, it can be, like you said, movies or TV shows, Netflix, YouTube, even a book. It isn't a way of escaping your life. And for some people, it's difficult because they either don't have the knowledge or even the bravery to just get out there and know how to live an adventurous life, because sometimes it's not for everyone, or it's just some people don't know where to even start. Like, where do I start to go on this adventure? Damn, I almost dropped my stuff. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Hey, man.
Yeah. That's facts, man. Yeah. And let's get into these characters that we're playing at the moment. Right? So these ones here. And yeah, I'm curious. I want to know what you've got prepared, man.
Just a few. You know, I was literally going to message you what I have prepared, but you were like, no, let's go in blind.
Yeah, we're going in blind, man. We're going in blind. Fuck it. So what I will say,
yeah, go on.
We both reserve the right to remain silent.
Yes. Okay, so these are the rules. I'm so glad you said that. There are rules. I am so glad you said that. Okay, but we can establish the rules right now. There are definitely rules. So the rules are, for everyone listening, me and Aaron, we have rules. I mean, no, we have questions for each other. And the rules are, you can ask the other person whatever question you want. It can be from the most tame to the most absurd. It can be private to super just public. It can be whatever you want, yeah? But the person answering can either choose to answer the question, remain silent, or they can even throw a white lie. It doesn't matter. It's just about when you get the question, how would you then react to that question that you're getting? How would you answer? And you can answer with silence. You can answer with whatever you want to. So you're not forced to have to answer the question. That is the rule.
Yes, yes. I am in agreement with that.
Okay.
Anything goes?
Anything goes.
But not anything has to be responded to.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yes. I'm ready.
So I don't know if this is just going to be done in just this episode or it's going to be a two-part one. I think it might be a two-part because this might be good. So I don't know. Who's going to start? Who's going to go?
I want your questions first.
You want my questions first?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Okay. Cool. So my first question. I'm going to start off tame and then ramp it up. Start off tame. So my first question is, what word would you use to just describe yourself? Just honestly and truthfully, just one word. Or it can just be like a little short sentence, but one word, little short sentence, few words. How would you describe yourself?
A walking paradox.
A walking paradox. So, yeah. Second question, why did you choose that? Why a walking paradox?
I realized that there are many different elements to me that make up my entire being. And some of them seem to contradict one another.
Give me an example.
So the first one that comes to mind is that, let's start off with a simple one. Mm-hmm. I claim to be left-handed, right? But I use my right hand for a bunch of stuff. So, you know, it's like there's that thing going on. I appear to have a male body. Yeah, I have many feminine tendencies. You know, I am in a human body at the moment, but I feel like a divine being who is above all of this at the same time.
Okay.
I am a mostly responsible father and I am a child at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I can work with what you're saying right now. I can vibe with what you're saying.
Yeah. I value honesty highly. And at the same time, I still lie to myself sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't even know the difference. That's the messed up thing about lying to ourselves. Like a lot of the time, you don't even know it's happening. It's just like, oh, shit. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So the best way I can describe myself is a paradox. I'm a walking paradox.
Fair enough. I vibed with what you said. All right. A few clicks. Okay. So that's how you describe yourself now. So let's say, how would you describe your past self? Like you from the past. And the past can be how far back you can, if you want to go. Like like when you look back to your defining moments in your, what would be your past self and how would you describe your past self?
For most of my past, I would describe myself as lost, confused, and out of place.
And why would that be?
So that would be, that's how I felt a lot of the time, even when I had what people may refer to as successes, right? So in primary school, for example, I was like smartest kid in the class and got all the top grades on the tests and the spelling tests and blah, blah, blah. And everyone wanted to compete with me. And I was like, I don't really care about this shit. You know, I just want to play football. I just want to do sports. That was my passion, right? But I was like, at the same time, I seem to have this gift. And then I've got all of these other kids around me saying, oh yeah, you're so smart and I wish I could do this. And ha ha, I beat you on the test and, you know, all of that stuff. And I've got all these adults around me like, oh yeah, you're so talented. You're so gifted. Just work hard and you'll do well. Just focus on your school and your academics, da 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 da. And I just want to kick a ball and jump a fence. That's what I want to do. So in trying to keep up those appearances of what the community was putting onto me, I felt disconnected with myself, like with my true being, because it was my understanding that, okay, you can kick a ball and jump a fence as a hobby, perhaps, but nobody can make a living from it because it's not real. It's not real shit, right? That was the narrative. So then me being passionate about these things, the connection that I made subconsciously or otherwise was that my passions weren't real things and the things I was passionate about were not real. And the only thing that mattered was, you know, being able to write the right things in a test. So that, yeah, that led to a lot of that feeling lost, feeling confused. And even when it came to sports, when I was a bit older, I didn't realize that, yes, I love sports and I love movement, but the true love was deeper than that as well. And I was expanding as a being, you know, I was coming into a greater understanding of what life might be and of what I might be. And then it was like, okay, yeah, you're dope at sports, you know? But it was like, yeah, I'm dope at sports, but I have emotions too, you know? So it was like, all right, how do I work with these emotions now? And especially coming from where we're coming from, we never had that emotional education. We never really had that emotional education. So it was just like, here you go. Yeah, you've got feelings kind of. Yeah, deal with that shit yourself, teenager. Have fun. You know? Yeah, and going into my 20s, it was, yeah, again, a lot of my behavior at that time was covering up insecurity, you know, covering up insecurity, trying to not be seen and be perceived as weak or as sensitive, you know. I hadn't yet come into an understanding of what it means to be a benefits that can come from that. And the fact that it wasn't like sensitivity is not a weakness.
Lost you for a moment. Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But just a moment.
Cool.
Sensitivity is not
lost,
a weakness.
Lost, confused. Right. Exactly. That's how I would describe it. Describe my past selves.
That's cool, man. I can relate to some of what you said as well. I feel you, man. Okay. So coming off of that, what would you say would be the highest achievement in your entire life so far? Like the highest point for you, the highest thing you were like, yeah, this is like best ever.
Right now, man.
Right now?
Right now. This is the dopest time of my life.
Awesome.
It's, I don't have as much money as I want to have right now. I don't know what I'm going to be doing next week. I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot I don't know. Let's put it that way. At the same time, I know that taking this journey throughout this earth realm and everything that it reflects about who I am inside it's an unraveling adventure. So like any moment that I'm experiencing it is the best moment for me.
Oh, so right now for you is the highest achievement, the highest point.
Yeah. Like in terms of achievement, I don't even know what that is. Like, how we define an achievement?
Yeah, see, I wanted you to define it. That's the thing. I'm just going to say the questions and you can interpret them in whichever way you want to.
Okay.
Mm.
So in terms of achievement, I've achieved a few things, right?
What's the highest?
How does one define that? So the highest, all right, I'll just like roll out a few things.
Go ahead.
So in terms of like my sporting athletic career, I found myself playing on the biggest stage in Europe. And I was in a stadium like a few years back, like 7,000-8,000 fans in the stands all cheering and shit. And I was like, fuck, like we're playing against players that I played in the NFL in the Canadian Football League. And I was like, shit. I was like, yo, this is dope. We got destroyed that game. Like we got killed. We were not prepared at all. at all. But just the fact that I made it to that stage, right?
Yeah.
It was like, shit.
That you were good enough to stand on that area with the greats. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was dope. I also, you know, when I went into dance, I started choreographing as well. And I learned a whole bunch of new skills, connected with a bunch of new people. And we won a European championship in 2017,
2018. Oh,
yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, man. That was fun. And that was also when I realized that people like to be around a certain vibration. And when people saw me dancing that day, they were like, "All right, this guy has something." And I came off that stage and they were like, these, they're girls. They were girls. I'm gonna call them what they were. They were girls. They were young, right? Coming up to me and giving me presents and shit. And then wanting to take photos of me and like wanting me to sign stuff. I was like, yo, all I did was dance.
Power so movement,
that was cool. Indeed. And so that was cool from a place of just an experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like those are ego achievements. Those are achievements that only exist because we created them. Mm-hmm. Like we created the game of football and said, all right, these are the rules. These are the positions and this is what happens and da 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 da. So if anyone can be the best at that and we can get enough people to be interested in this thing, in this sport, and then have people try and go and be the best at this. And then we bring those people together and then they compete. And then we see who's the best of the best. And then we'd be like, here's a trophy. Like, you guys are great at this thing that we just invented. Awesome. Congrats.
I don't think it was from that though. Wasn't it that kids were just playing it and then more kids played it and then it just got so fun and popular that they started to compete and then it just grew into what it grew into. It was just a fun thing.
Most of these games started off at university level. So that was where they were invented, created. I think it was the same for American football and for basketball. They were just created in a university setting in like the 1800s. The late 1800s, they created these sports.
Huh.
And then, so they started playing them there. And then, yeah, it starts trickling down into the grassroots where the children pick it up. And then they made it professional as well
fair enough.
Some point. But like, whichever way you spin it, it was some guy or some guys somewhere that said, yo, what if we grab this pig bladder? Yeah. And we tried to run it over there. And you got to try and stop me. All right. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Let's do that shit. All right. Yo, you guys want to play too?
Oh.
And then before you know it, you've got like 11 on each side. And it's like, here's the rules. We're going to start with the ball here. And then we got to snap it backwards. Yeah? And then you got to try and stop us. And then it starts as that. And then it develops into whole offense, defense, and then offensive schemes and defensive schemes and different formations. Like the evolution of the game is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
To be honest. But at the end of the day, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a game.
It's a simple game at the end of the day. That's now a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. They started a new league over here as well this year.
Oh, snap.
Really? The European League of Football, they call it. It's like the rebirth of the old NFL Europe.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't think they had the championship game on the weekend.
Oh, they did?
They played the whole season. They had the championship game on the weekend. I know a couple of guys that were playing in the league
as well,
with the teams. And I think it was, who won? Frankfurt versus Hamburg or something like that.
Oh.
And Frankfurt won. Yeah, it was a close game. But they played it in the stadium, in the city. Had like 23,000 fans or something like that.
Whoa. Right down.
Yeah, man.
Huh, well, when you have a few Frankfurts on the team, of course you're going to win, you know what I'm saying? Damn. All right.
Yeah, man.
But you were saying all of these things are just ego ego achievements.
Yeah, like it's cool, and I like it's a rush. It's a certain rush, so I see why people get addicted to it. It's just being able to feed off that much energy from your teammates, from the people you're playing against, from the people in the stands in the crowd. It's energy that cannot be described. Like for that European Championship, when I was dancing, you know, I was practicing every week in the practice hall. And that was dope. I was practicing at home as well, whether that was by myself, right? In the practice hall, we have mirrors, practice with each other. And then now and again, we sit down and perform for the rest of the team, right? But jumping up on that stage and seeing all of these people and like they're cheering and they're making up noise, it's a different energy.
You can get high from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of shit that helps people get into this place that they call the zone.
Yeah.
So that's what I would, you know what? My biggest achievement is that I understand flow.
Oh,
and that I now know how to get into flow.
Okay.
I know how to lose myself in an activity, how to immerse myself and become one with it.
Really drop into the zone. So if fully dropping into the zone is your highest of highest achievements, what is like your lowest? What was the lowest moment that, yeah, what is the low? What's the complete opposite of that?
The lowest moment. The lowest moment, I would say,
you don't so have
I don't know
to.
If I have a lowest moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm finna open up though.
Okay.
So the lowest moment. I don't think I have a particular moment, but it's generally my lowest moments, let's say.
Okay.
Have been in relationships with women where I have compromised my values. Yes.
I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those have been my lowest moments when I know what I need for myself, right? And I know what's true for me. And at the same time, because of my... Oh, okay. I'm going to rebound this in a second as well, right?
All right.
So because of my, let's say attraction, I'm going to use the word attraction very specifically right now because I'm going to use a different word in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my attraction for women and to women, there's a lot of shit that I would let slide. And I didn't realize that also they don't want me to let that shit slide. Mm-hmm. They want me to, or they need me to step up and be who I am. So I've realized that women are built to challenge us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to step up and like, show, you know what, this is actually who I am. And this is what I deal with. This is where I stand. And so the times that I allowed that to be compromised have always resulted in my lowest moments emotionally and spiritually. And so the rebound from that is, so before I said flow, right, in terms of my highest achievement, something I would put up there as well is my love of women. So I use the word attraction, right? Now I'm going to use the word love. I've found a deep love for women, like as a whole, for every woman, like whether that's, you know, one of these young Instagram models that you see parading themselves these days, or whether it's the old lady downstairs. Like, I see the essence of woman, and that's been a hell of a journey. That's been a hell of a journey. So yeah, whichever way you spin it, my highest and my lowest moments involve women and femininity.
And not the flow anymore. The flow is not the highest anymore. It's that second.
The flow is part of that.
Okay.
It was interactions with women that helped me learn the flow.
Okay.
As well. My dance team was predominantly female.
I saw that, and, yeah.
Yeah. And the moments that I'm in flow today, like these days, are mostly through interacting, like bringing masculine and feminine energies together, whether that's in a conversation, whether that's in dance, whether that's in sex, you know, like whatever it is, just, yeah, getting into that flow and allowing it to happen.
Okay. All right. Cool. So we're going to get into, actually, I'm just going to say it. So do you think you're a good person? Like, do you actually think that you are a good person?
No.
Why is this?
What authority do I have to make that claim?
I don't know. You tell me. I was just asking you the question.
So, all right, let me rewind that to make that no make more sense. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, I don't consider myself a person at all.
Oh. Then what are you if you're not a person?
I'm an infinite being with a human avatar.
Ah, okay. Okay.
To be a person is, that's a trap. To be a person is a trap. Because
go on.
A person is considered a legal entity, right? And an entity can be owned in that sense. So if one admits to being a person, it's like, cool, I can own you. That's that kind of thing. And it's that wording of person. Where was it? I was reading about the law and about like persons and corporations. So for example, you know how a corporation can be registered as a person as well.
Can it?
When one goes to court.
Oh yeah, it could be, it can be, what was it? Oh, I know what you're saying. It's its own entity. Like the corporation could be its own entity, something like that. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that word corp, you know, it's the prefix of corpse, which is a dead body, right? A corpse is a dead body. And
isn't it just short for
the German word?
But sorry. Sorry to interrupt, continue.
The German word for body is Körper.
Ah.
So, you know, again, this is one of those feeling things where the word person started to feel really weird for me. So I said, all right, I'm not going to use that anymore to describe myself. Yeah. So I prefer to, I will admit to being a human being.
Okay, that's okay.
I'll admit to that much.
Cool. So I will rephrase my question then. Do you think you are a good human being?
Do I think I am a good human being?
Mm.
The truth is, I don't care.
I love it. Like, that was a great answer. Why don't you care? I love that answer.
I understand that this is a world of duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of duality and polarity. So whether one is a good person or a good human is very often determined by how one is received by others. So you'll find people that would describe me as a good human, most definitely. You'll find a couple that would say I'm an asshole. You find a couple that will say I'm irresponsible. You know, everyone has their own opinion of me. My opinion of me is that I am doing my best to live in integrity and in truth. I probably fall short of that sometimes. So, yeah, I prefer to flow without the label. Because I used to try and be a good person, right? And that was so much, it was stress, it was pressure. Because then I was like, oh shit, now I can't do this or express this emotion because that's not what good people do, right? And that might have just been a subconscious pattern, but it existed. And shedding the burden of trying to be a good person has been a huge part of my liberation process.
I like that. That was a damn good answer. And the funny thing is, the funny how you use the word liberation. If I showed you a picture right now of the title of my questions, the title is literally called An Unspoken Path to Liberation.
Nice.
I can literally take the picture and screenshot it to you now. Oh man, how things are connected. There's no such thing as coincidence. Grand rising. There's no such thing as coincidence. Okay, next question. What motivates you? Like, what would motivate you to do anything? And I mean anything. Like, if you were given this thing, right? They can make you do anything. Like, all I need to do is give you this thing, and I can make you do whatever. So what would motivate you to do anything? Anything at all?
So, is that one thing that could be given to me that would motivate me to do absolutely anything?
Yes. It doesn't have to be a thing. It could be abstract. Like, what is it that would make you literally do anything?
For me, that's the inner authority that says there's nothing else you can do right now. So, gladly. So what leads me to do anything is it's a sense of knowing within myself that says this is the thing to do right now. So let me seek to give a concrete example for that.
Hey.
Let's see.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's talk about what led me to move to Germany.
Okay.
So there came a point where it was like, I don't see myself raising a child in London.
Fair enough.
And I'd already visited Germany, been through a couple of times previously.
Dude, you don't need any explanation as to why not to raise a child in London. But continue, sorry.
And I just had this knowing. It was like the best way I can describe it is a knowing. So if I had tried to stay in London, I would not have been able to. My body would have pushed me somewhere. It would have forced me onto a plane. Right. So if I didn't make that decision, my body would have forced me onto a plane and said, no, you're not raising your child here. So it's that. That is the thing that motivates me to do anything. It creates a state within my body where I literally cannot do anything else. Otherwise, I will suffer if I try to fight that.
So to make you do anything, someone will have to somehow orchestrate a way to get your inner self to make you feel like you got to go and do this thing because there's no other option.
Indeed.
Ooh.
Indeed. So a person trying to manipulate me would have to understand that I'm very internally motivated. So they would have to, like you said, orchestrate external events to such a fine degree
that you have no other choice.
That I think I'm making the decision myself. That's
a hardcore manipulation, you know?
Indeed. And yeah, there are people that know how to do that. They study this.
Yeah.
So I'm not as naive or arrogant as to say that every choice is coming from like my higher or my highest authority, you know, my God, whatever, however one may describe that, because I'm also very aware that there is deep manipulation at play in all arenas. So yeah, the best I can do is to go with what appears to be my highest authority until a higher one appears.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So next question. How many people have you slept with? Or how many people do you think you've slept with?
No more than 20.
No more than 20, really?
No more than 20.
Huh.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm quite selective about where I place my penis.
Huh.
It's, yeah. And especially after like getting to a certain point in my consciousness, right? It was like, yeah, no. And obviously, since like creating children with someone as well, it's like, yeah, I'm good here. I don't actually need to go and, you know, throw this around anywhere else. Like I'm good.
I wasn't talking about now. I was talking about before you had kids.
Indeed. So, you know, no more. You know what? I probably, all right, let me run through this. So we're talking probably, yeah, 15 or 16.
Okay.
15 or 16. And the, yeah, most of them pre-2013.
No way, dude. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I started fairly early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that makes more sense, actually. Yeah. Okay. All right. Why? Okay. If.
Yeah. But like Kendrick said, this day came free, you know? So I got certain standards to uphold, man.
Oh, dude, you do whatever you want. It's your life. If you got standards, slap them on. Like,
that's what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is. More power to you. Okay, so if you had the power to erase all humans on this planet, just erase them so that the planet can reset, would you press it? Or would you use that power?
If and only if my highest authority said that this is the only way to go.
So, what would entail? So, okay. So, if, let's say, you can call it an alien or an angel or demon or whatever name you want to call it, whatever another being, divine being, whatever, comes down and tells you, if you don't, okay, so I have this thing that I can give you, and with this thing, with this power, you can erase all of the humans. The reason why I'm giving you this power is that in the next few centuries, humans may or may not destroy this whole planet. Like, the planet is doomed, maybe. It's unsure. But the path of destruction that's going on, the planet might be doomed. Or I can give you this now, and with this, you can erase all humans and the planet will be saved. What would you do?
I start asking some questions. I'd be like, first of all, who the fuck are you? Why are you coming here to me with this button telling me this story? Why didn't you press the shit? If it's that important.
Oh, shit. No, that's it. They just dropped down, gave you the power, and just bounced. So now you can choose to either hold it or just throw it away. Oh, God. That is funny. But that's it. They gave you the thing. They say you can have it and use it, or you can just dash it and it's destroyed. So you can choose to use it or you can choose not to use it. And then they just bounce. They're just gone. Oh, man.
Man.
Hmm.
Yeah. I would see no need to press the button.
Yeah.
Reason being, humans are, Earth is the womb of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And if one seeks to destroy the womb that one lives in, that's also destroying oneself. So if that's the path it's going, then humans finna kill themselves anyway. And Earth will always regenerate.
No, but because humans continue, Earth is gone.
Because humans continue?
Yeah, you have to destroy humans for Earth to be able to regenerate.
In that case, Earth wouldn't need me because she would do it herself.
But that's not the scenario.
Okay, so we're talking in this scenario. All right.
In this scenario.
So we're taking out the assumption that Earth can protect herself through what humans describe as disasters.
So okay.
Are we taking that out of the equation?
So this is the thing. This is the thing, right? This is the thing. Mm-hmm. So this, whatever creature you want to call it, angel, demon, divine being, God, or aliens, whatever, came down to you for some reason we don't know. It said to you in a language you can understand, it goes, I'm going to give you this thing. I'm giving you this thing because in the next few centuries, humans might destroy the entire planet. But that might happen, right? Or I can give you this and you can decide to destroy all the humans and guarantee that Earth will survive, right? Then it just gives you the thing, then it bounces, it's gone.
Okay.
So you now hold this power. So it's like, maybe in the next few centuries, humans will destroy themselves because they destroyed the planet, thus destroying themselves.
Mm.
So Earth is gone. Or you can destroy them all now and you can guarantee that Earth will still be here and for however long Earth can be here before the sun explodes and destroys everything anyway.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, in that case, so that's a bit too many maybes for me to work with, right?
Yeah.
So what I would do is meditate. I would go into meditation and be there with the button and observe and reflect.
Okay.
And where I would quite possibly come to is a space where I realize, okay, if this is meant to be, I'm not going to stand in the way of divine order. And especially if the feeling within myself is just, you know, there's no need to push this button. Just allow the flow to be. And if that then resulted in the destruction of Earth, so be it. So be it. That meant that the destruction of Earth was intended. And whatever comes next is whatever comes next.
Okay. Cool. So you basically throw it away. You throw the button and the power away. Pretty much what you're going to do.
I would say I would move out of the way of that because that power would have been nothing more than an illusion anyway.
Why an illusion? Why would it be an illusion?
Say that the button is pressed.
Yeah.
And humanity gets destroyed.
Yeah.
If I'm still a human, either I die along with them because something was... It destroys something that connected all of us. Or I'm the last one left. And it's like, well, what now? You know?
Hmm. Fair enough. Fair enough. God, it's nice to see your process and the way you think about this. Very interesting. I like it. So, going on to the next question. If you, for some reason, became an actual god in the literal sense of whatever you believe a god is, what would be the first thing you do? Like you become like an actual god. Like whatever a god is, you for some reason become one. What is the first thing, the first thing you will actually do with that power? The almightiness.
The first thing.
Yeah.
So, first thing. It depends on the level of God that we're speaking about.
There's levels of gods now?
It always has been. So if we're talking about the supreme, supreme consciousness, the unity consciousness, if we're speaking about that, the answer is easy. Okay. And what I would do when finding myself in that position is throw it all away and start again.
Whoa, what do you mean by throw it all away? Throw what away?
Once one has reached the position of ultimate, like, unity power.
Yeah.
Once all the pieces are integrated back into self, there's nothing else to do. It's like, well, I'm already here. I'm already everything. I'm already all. I'm already everywhere. So, all right, this is cool. But now I want to know myself again. So I'm going to just create something where I can sink a part of myself into another part of myself and find out about myself again. What? And learn how I got here.
You're going to do a Holy Trinity? You're going to do a Jesus? You're going to do a goddamn Jesus? You're gonna Jesus yourself?
Isn't that what this is? Isn't that what we're doing already? Are you not Jesus? Am I not Jesus? Do we not all have a cross to bear?
This is so interesting. You know, this is, I don't know if it's interesting for everyone else, but this is really interesting. Like, I feel like other people would be like, first thing I'll just do is just, and I'll give myself loads of money, or I'll just, I don't know, destroy all my enemies, or I don't know, make the sky purple or something, I don't know. Like, and you're just like, nah, man, I'm just going to reset my button on myself and make myself human again.
Yeah, man.
So what, you'd stay a god, but then... So
that's the difference. So if I'm going to be a god and not the god...
Okay, the god. No, whatever definition of a god you believe. Whatever definition of a god you believe.
Oh, a god is many things to me. So I first of all, I see myself as a god, right? Just in this state that I am now, in the sense that I have the ability of creation and destruction. I have the ability to generate, operate, and destroy anything, like any cipher, any thing. Yeah, let's say I can create anything from the space that I'm at. I can operate that thing and I can destroy that thing when the time is ready. Or when the time is right. And to be the God is to have no degree of separation in that self. So the fact that I'm in a reality where I can reach over and touch the mic, the laptop, my phone, means that I am in an illusion of separation at the moment. So I cannot possibly be the God if I can see things outside of my being, outside of my physical being. However, I can be a god in the sense that I claim the power of creation.
Wow, you just made that really complicated. You can't become the god.
I can become the god. So, but I'm not the god in the state.
Oh, of course. You know? Okay.
So the god is something that I am connected to. So yes, for example, okay,
I understand you.
It would be more accurate for me to say that you and I are closer to the God than just me by myself, because that's uniting parts that appear to be separate from one another, right?
Okay, I get you. I get you.
Yeah.
So yeah. So basically, if you become the God, you're going to scrap this entire reality and then start it again with you doing the exact same thing the past the God did.
So, yes and no.
Okay, how is it a no? Because it sounds like you're just going to do the same thing the past dude did, or the past the God did, which is make another Jesus.
From the position of the God, and I'm not talking about no Christian God, no Muslim God, no whatever, you know.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to compare. Yeah,
indeed. But the only thing for the God to do is everything. The only thing that the God can do is everything. Hmm? Every single possibility in every single dimension, in every single realm, in every single thing that you can imagine.
Hmm. Or cannot imagine. That's what exists.
Indeed. Indeed. That's what exists within the God. Every single possibility on any single thing that we humans might call a timeline or a dimension.
Hmm.
That's what exists. So the God is consciousness itself. It's an infinite collection of possibility, people, places, things, thoughts, ideas. It's infinity itself. That is, the God is infinity itself. So when one is in the position of infinity, it's like, well, this is everything about everything about everything. You know, this is cool, but I guess it's kind of boring. So let's just reset. I want to see what happened on Jupiter. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see what happened in Jupiter during this cycle. I want to see what was happening in the Andromeda galaxy when it cycled around the Milky Way that one time. I want to see that time where the Earth humans discovered some shit that blew their brains out. And, you know, I want to see that comedy show that they call that they call the United States of America. You know, I want to, you know, endless possibilities.
Oh my God.
Endless possibilities.
Oh my God. Talk about the comedy show. It was so funny because they did an interview with Biden saying that, did you know that there's going to be an issue with how many troops to send out? And like, there was no one that was consulting you with how many troops should remain and stuff like that. And he was like, nope. And apparently he wasn't truthful, because he was consulted about how many troops should stay in Afghanistan and the logistics of all of that. So like, yeah, when you said comedy show, that's literally what came into my head when you said that.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah. You give the most interesting answers, I'm not gonna lie. It's really interesting. So okay, my question to you, this is gonna be, I think this is gonna be one of the last few questions, because I have loads more, but I have a really interesting question for you. Because I think this is going to be a doozy of a question, right? My question to you is, what question should I ask you, but I haven't really asked you yet?
That's a good question.
Exactly. I know there's a bunch of questions I haven't asked you yet. That would be a really good question. But why not go to the source himself and see what I haven't asked yet?
Mm. In that case, I'm going to respond to that with another question.
Okay.
And that question would be, what is it that you most want to know?
Okay, to be honest, first of all, I've already figured out a lot more It's just how your mind works and how you get from point A to point B. When you give me an answer to the question, how did you get to B? How did you get to that answer? So you've been like explaining how you get to your answers, and it's really interesting to see the path of thinking, because it's very different and it's very interesting. And secondly, it's to, I don't know, get maybe some answers from myself as well. Would I come up with that answer? No, that's very different to how I would say or how I would explain it. So it's also, as you're answering your question, I'm also answering the questions in my head, kind of thing. And also for the people listening in, for them to also go through this, would you answer in the same way? Would you not answer in the same way? How would you answer that? And I also want to hear embarrassing things or things that you're too shy to talk about. That's why I've been going a bit tame on the questions. I didn't know how, I wanted to go cheeky, but I'm like, that just, because if I just come up with cheeky questions, it would just sound like I'm just trying to be cheeky for the sake of being cheeky. I wanted to ask more, you know, proper questions, like the questions I've been asking you. Those are more mentally intelligent thinking questions, but I don't mind getting cheeky. But to be honest, I just wanted to see what you would come up with, how you would answer.
So the question, to answer your question about the question.
Yeah.
About which one you haven't asked me yet.
Question.
And I don't feel as though we actually need to answer this one right now, but we can put it on the table.
Okay.
And I have every faith that it will be answered itself in time.
Okay.
And the question is, what is it that connects the two of us and makes us different?
Ooh. So what is it that connects us and makes us different? Okay. Yeah, that one is one that will be, that as you go on, as we all go on this journey, we'll all understand that eventually.
Yeah. So we'll put that one on the table. And I'm willing to face one of these so-called cheeky questions before we draw it to a close.
Oh, so you want me to actually ask a cheeky question?
Yes, please.
Oh my gosh.
I'm open for all of it.
Okay. So, okay. I'm going to just ask, because we've gotten to that around the hour mark. So let's just go with, okay, a cheeky question. Okay. So what is the, oh, God damn it. What is the most, how do I say it? Most, okay, the raunchiest thing you have ever fantasized about, like the raunchiest fantasy you've ever had?
Bro, like all of them. The fuck?
You can't just go, like what?
What haven't I fantasized about? Shit. I had sex with money last night, so. You know.
You had sex with money?
I've had sex with aliens.
Wait, what do these aliens look like?
They just take on whatever form they're supposed to take on, man.
Like what? You can't just say
sex with the goddesses.
Okay, a goddess sounds more reasonable, but like, what do you mean by alien? Was it gray? Was it short? Did it have three eyes? What do you mean by alien?
It's just, so an basically, octopus? There's a lot of overlap between the aliens and the goddesses, right? And
all right.
Are you familiar with Lakshmi?
Lakshmi?
Yeah.
What the heck is Lakshmi?
So Lakshmi is a goddess from the Hindu pantheon.
Oh. Go on, continue.
Yeah. So, like, Lakshmi is a goddess of wealth and prosperity, right? And so, in these spaces that I travel to, in my mind, it's Lakshmi has been through a few times, and it's like, yo, you know, she got like four arms and big breasts, big belly.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking at her now. She's got it going on, man. Wait, what color is she? Is she blue, or is she the?
She's sometimes orange. I think she's
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be all kinds of different ways, man.
Okay, I'd hear Lakshmi.
Yeah. Lakshmi is versatile.
I'm not gonna lie, she looks. I mean, she got four arms, man. She's definitely versatile.
And you know,
coming out of goddamn flowers and stuff. She,
yeah, man. Like I've fantasized about humans in this reality as well.
Okay.
And you know, things that are possible and things that would be cool. Like that's how anything starts, man. And that's why I'm living the reality I do right now. Cause I just, at one point I said, fuck it, I'ma just imagine whatever. And if it seems dope, like let's explore it, man.
Well, what's the one?
I'm living a life of chaos.
What's the top though? What's the one that you, even for you, you're like, oh wow, that was one hell of a fantasy. That one, even for me, that one was cray cray.
I don't know. Cause it's not, none of it is crazy to me anymore. It's just, it's standard. It's like,
fucking money is standard.
You know?
Fucking those bills.
It's standard. It's like, you know, if this is all a part of the thing that we call God, right? Just the different aspects of it, different fractals of it. It's like, they're just different streams of consciousness. They're different streams of energy. So like none of it seems crazy to me anymore. And yeah. Like orgies, just like, for example, say that there's, I don't know, a few human women, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I find a certain attraction with. I may just go into a space where it's like, okay, what would that be like? You know, individually with two of them, with three of them.
Of course, that's a normal, know, male thing.
If I was by myself and they're just watching me do something, I'm like whatever it is.
Oh, and
like
they just watch goes, you. They don't touch you. They just watch you.
It could be either or.
Okay.
This and like it's all like everything goes. Anything goes.
Okay. Final like, question. Final question. Have you ever? And you can choose to answer this or not. I won't judge you either way. Have you ever fantasized about a dude or men? Be more than one.
Have I fantasized about a dude?
Yeah, being with a dude in a sexual manner. Or has it just come up in a dream or...
I've pictured it. I've pictured it before.
Ah, you pictured it.
Yeah. And it was like, it's not really for me.
Mm.
And I was like, is it, am I like hiding from myself? Am I trying to deny that it's for me? Or, you know,
yeah, I feel you.
So again, like I said, I'm open to all of it, man. I've pictured it, and yeah, at the moment it doesn't do anything for me. It's like I'm cool with the one penis. Yeah, you
know. What about a lady boy?
There's a certain it's intriguing to me. It's intriguing, like, to be honest. It's intriguing. Because, and not necessarily from a sexual standpoint, right? But just from a, this is a human that is in a space. And to what I understand, some people are in a space where they literally have, and I'm not speaking about hermaphrodites.
Hmm.
I'm speaking about
trans.
People that literally went through transitions,
yeah,
right? And at the same time, kept hold of, like, for example, vagina and all the like the womb parts and everything.
Sexual organs.
And also, yeah, indeed. And also decided to get a penis and still have breasts. And it's just like, okay, interesting. Interesting. So, but yeah, with my understanding of what this reality is and the fact that our true nature is androgynous in any case. Our true nature is androgynous. These male and female bodies are wonderful. And at the same time, they are illusions.
Okay, that would be the last question for today. We can go. I wanted to ask more, but we're hitting the 115 mark.
Yeah.
And we did say we were going to try and make these ones smaller.
we did better. We did better.
We 115 did
is shorter than 145.
We did do better. We could literally keep talking. This is hilarious. Okay, so that's gonna be it. I guess next episode you're gonna ram me full of questions and I'm gonna have to answer everyone as honest and as truthfully as I possibly can, or just not say anything.
Indeed. It's your right.
This is also true. But I liked how you were just trying to answer every question. So I'm gonna try and do the same thing. I'll try and answer every question fully honest, fully open my mind. I'm just going to be straight up as well. I don't think I'm going to be as, how do I say, I'm not going to be as thought out as you were. I don't know. We'll see, actually. I'm excited for what questions you have in store for me. I'm guessing you took inspiration from my questions as well.
Maybe. I'm looking at my ones here, and I have total faith in these here. I have five questions.
Five
questions.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm coming from a few different angles.
Oh, geez, I'm kind of afraid now. All right. So, how are we going to end this one?
So, what I would love to say is that we're undergoing an evolution right now. And that evolution is... it requires a certain level of transparency from us. And I'm a person who wholeheartedly, I don't believe, I know that things like telepathy are, you know, at some point in this, I don't know, they're on the horizon. But I also know that things that block telepathy are the tendency, or is the tendency to lie to ourselves and to one another. So if we can just get into a space where we, you know, create space for each other to just speak and just express like everything, not just the shit that's acceptable, like everything, then we can really see what's going on inside of us. And yeah, man, get closer to that crux of evolution.
Okay. So instead of telepathy, we can just, I mean, you could call it telepathy. I'll call that empathizing. Being an empath. There we go. Empath. Just trying to, like you said, if we're more open, we don't lie, then yeah, we can be more connected. I can truly agree with you on that as well. So that's why next episode I'll try and just keep it all fully honest. I'm not gonna lie anyway.
Don't try, just do it.
Yeah, just do it. That's true. Don't try, do. That's a Star Wars reference for you from Master Yoda. And this is season 2. I hope you liked it. Season 2. Oh, yeah. See you on the next one where we get into me. So, oh, wow, that sounds weird, get into me. Or maybe you will. I don't know. Whatever your preference. All right. We out. Season 2.
Peace.